Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is going to be the Pokemon show for the month of May 2022. We're going to take a quiz. We got a quiz game all ready to go. It's all about the ghost types. I hope you guys have been studying.
Couldn't be more excited. A lot's on the line.
Couldn't be less prepared.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I don't have any trick questions. I'm not trying to fool you. This should just be a fun one. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that, Ryan, how's Pokemon Go?
It's good. It's gone really good. A lot happening. I don't even remember what we talked about.
Riveting conversation already.
I think the last we talked, there was like a community day event. But there's like a water thing happening right now, right?
Yeah, right now is... Well, I guess before we even get to that, did we talk about the Mega stuff, did we? They just redid
We did. Yes. You did mention that.
So the Mega stuff has been completely reworked. Every Mega is so much more easy to obtain. We're past this now, but it was like a week ago where you could just churn the daily achievements over and over again to get the Mega Candy if you hadn't caught up. So pretty much every single one, it used to cost like X number of Mega Candy to evolve it. Now what it does is you just have to do it one time and that Pokemon will be good. And then there's a 7-day cooldown that starts. And then once you get to 7 days, it's free to Mega evolve it again. And then that sort of cycle starts over. And once you do it, I think 30 times total, it reduces the cooldown to 3 days. So every third day you can Mega Evolve it. Essentially, it's sort of a, you know, the more you do it, the better off you'll be. Mm-hmm. And even then, it's still, just because it's 200 to do it the first time, doesn't mean it'll be 200 to do it the second time either. Like, it'll still cost like 50 instead. And then every day for 7 days, it decreases a little bit. So the idea is just that they want you doing more Mega Evolving of Pokemon because, like, they incorporate it in the game, and yet no one really ever does it because it's always been so expensive and the raids haven't been that good to do it. So now they made the raids easier, better rewards for doing Mega Raids, and it's so much easier not to Mega Evolve your Pokemon. So everyone should be doing it. Like, I've got so much Mega Candy.
Which, that was my favorite mechanic that they introduced, the Mega Evolutions. I really liked that.
Yeah.
You'd rank it above Z-moves and Gigantamax.
Oh, yeah.
It's way better than all that.
Those Megas are a lot of fun. There's a lot more strategy and stuff you can do with Mega Evolutions.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny because it's a holdover from a previous gen. It is interesting that Pokemon Go went so deep in on that because they have not touched Z-moves and they have not done any of that other stuff. And they still are continuing to roll out Mega Pokemon. So it's not like all of them are currently available now. Like, there's still a bunch we haven't seen yet. Right now, I think there's like 19 total that you can Mega Evolve. Hmm. Oh, and there's benefits. There's really good benefits for doing it now. I mean, there were always some benefits to it, but now, if you have that Pokemon Mega Evolved, like as you always have, you'll get 1+ candy for every Pokemon of the same type caught during that 8-hour window. So say, for example, like Beedrill. Beedrill's like the easy one to Mega Evolve. It's poison and bug, right? So that means every other poison or bug Pokemon you catch, you get an extra candy for catching it.
You mentioned that.
Yeah, you also get an EXP boost, and I think even a small Stardust boost as well. So it's really, really cool. But yeah, moving on from that, we had the community day event for Stuffle. So I'm sure the entire Pokemon Go community is swimming with shiny Stuffles right now. Beware, it's okay, it's fine. It's not as strong as you'd like it to be, and it's a fighting normal, so it's not like a great type. Not particularly good at anything, but it is just very large. It is a very large Pokemon.
I mean, the normal type really doesn't do anything other than help it, really, because now it's not...
Makes it weak to fighting, I guess.
Is it weak to fighting, or is it just neutral, then?
I don't know.
It'd be weak.
It's still weak.
I think. I think fighting might be one of those rare types that is not resistant to itself.
Yeah. Okay. But well, at least now you can't hit it with a ghost move or anything.
Yeah, it gives some immunity to ghost.
Yeah.
Although...
You won't be throwing fighting against ghosts.
Let's not talk too much about ghosts. Let's table this discussion for the quiz.
I
think we should discuss ghosts a bit more here. We need to go into the minutiae of this.
But really, like, it just in general, it's not a good fighting type. There's so many other fighting types you would prefer to use in this game, including just your basic Machamp. Machamp is still a mean-ass motherfucker, and you would be using that before you use it. And just for a bear Pokemon, you should be using your bear tick. Before you use that, you probably should use your Ursa Ring before you find yourself running around with the wearer. But at any rate, like, it's cute that it's in there. It's cool that they added it. And it's a very new Pokemon, so that's nice.
Derpy motherfucker, though.
Yeah, yeah. They've continued on. Now that we're in this water season, it's the fourth of the Tapus has been released now. So it's Tapu Fini. I've already caught a couple. And that's going to be going on for at least another week. I think there's actually like a very, very long time where this is going to be the 5-star mega. And also right now, Blastoise is the mega one, like the mega Pokemon you can get in raids. Like, what else is going on? Yeah, so there's going to be tons and tons of water Pokemon everywhere. There's an achievement. If 600 million water types are caught, they're going to be, like, double candy from now for the next, like, 10 days, which certainly it will. They just started it this morning, and currently it's 60% done.
There you go.
I've contributed 83. I caught 83 water types today.
Did your part?
Yeah, I'm doing the thing. So the Pokemon that you're seeing a lot of are your standard watery type stuff, where it's like Whalmer is out there, Magikarps, Lotad. They introduced Dupiter, or Dupiter, I heard somebody call it. So it's Dupiter is now in the mix.
I like Dupiter.
Mm-hmm. So I got a couple of those. Hopefully I see more of them around. It seems like they've been spawning, but I need, I think, 50 to evolve it. So hopefully in due time I'll find a good one and I'll find 50 candies of them, because otherwise, it's a particularly average Pokemon. It's not that great. And if you get all four of the Tapus, there's going to be a special event, I think, in July that you'll want to take part in. Staryu is available. Staryu gets like 750 Stardust, which is huge. Like, for a game that your average just Pokemon you catch in its first form gets you like 100, maybe 125 Stardust, getting 750 on one throw is fucking crucial. That's really cool. I like that. That generally covers it. I think that, you know, there's going to be more. The 21st, which is, I guess, I think it's the Saturday. Not the Saturday, but the Saturday thereafter.
Yeah, a week from Saturday.
It'll be Alolan Geodude.
Oh, nice.
Is the spotlight Pokemon, the community day Pokemon of the month. So, that means that you get really high shiny odds, like 1 in 25 odds, and they'll just be everywhere if you're playing. Oh, and Alomalola, that one, or whatever that is, and Lapras. Lapras currently has a scarf, so if you care about the Pokemon that have the things. Oh, which, by the way, yeah, I got a fucking shiny little
accessories. They're sort of seasonal accoutrement.
Yeah, I don't think we talked about that, but they were doing all the flower stuff, like all the Pokemon had the flowers in their hair and shit, so I got a shiny Pichu with the flowers in its hair.
That's fun.
I got a bunch of Eevees with them too, so they look pretty adorable. Chanseys and all that. So
now, if they evolve, would they keep the flowers?
Yes. This is one of the few. Like some do, some don't. But this one is one where they'll all keep the flowers if they evolve. So I could, in theory, make one of my shinies that I want to. Also got a shiny Piplup, shiny is it Galarian Darumaka? Where's the one where it turns into an ice type? Which I don't know what. It's one of the
I think it's Galarian.
Galarian. I got one of those. Got a shiny Wingull. So yeah, things are happening.
Very cool.
It's very, very good.
Anything else about Pokemon Go?
Oh, I think that was the point I was trying to make, but then got sidetracked. But Alolan and Lapras have increased shiny odds. Mm. So your average Pokemon typically has 1 in 500 odds. They have 1 in 64 odds.
Damn.
Worth poking at one if you see it out there, just because it could be shiny. It has a higher chance of being shiny than your average thing.
Cool. So we do have a little bit of breaking news. A few hours before we started recording, the Pokemon Company announced that Pokemon Home support is coming to Pokemon Diamond Pearl as well as Pokemon Legends Arceus within the next couple of weeks. I think it was first reported out by Polygon. They jumped the gun a little bit. They thought the update was going live immediately. At least that was my understanding when I read the article. But then some corrections came out, and Pokemon Company was like, it's not right now. It's within the next couple of weeks. So hopefully, by the next time we do a Pokemon show, we'll be able to talk about
transferring them in and out of there.
Yep. Put them all into home.
So should we... How much crow should we be eating right now? Because literally last time we had a Pokemon podcast, I remember us really digging in on Pokemon for not having these things.
Well, that's why. Like, that's why they're doing the update now, is they heard us complaining. Okay. And they're like, oh shit, that's right, we haven't done that yet.
Because part of me is like, well, we were just ragging on them pretty hard, and they're now announcing that they're doing the thing that we wanted them to do so good.
Yeah.
But it's been 6 months.
Right.
Yes,
It's been 6 months.
You need to remember, we are the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet.
I mean, that's just science.
Yeah.
There were tests done.
So, of course,
after 10 years running.
Mm-hmm. We bitch enough, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And release Advance Wars now, you cowards.
What are they afraid of?
What are they afraid of?
What do you think makes them so weak?
I don't
know. Just remask it and just make it instead of Russians, Nazis, and everything's fine.
I don't give a shit about that anymore. just fucking release the game.
Anyway. Make it America versus also America. I don't care at this point. I just want to play good, this for
Civil War.
Just like real life. Yes. But it'll be good to be talking about that because I did... just to finish up a run-through, at least within the main game, of Wes's copy of Diamond. I got through the game. We had talked about doing specific run-throughs based on RPG or D&D classes.
And you already did it.
Yeah.
You already did it, right? I haven't done it.
Well, I started out, I was planning on touching base with you guys to see how we're going to do it, move through it methodically. But then I started with a rogue class, and when you're playing through the rogue, you're using dark and poison types, we decided. And I started up, and the ones available early on in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl are Badoo and Zubat. I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. So you catch Badoo. Badoo has a full move pool at the beginning. Growth, Absorb, Synthesis is one of them. But basically, Absorb is your only attacking move. I'm like, okay, that's not great. So I had to avoid every trainer, make my way up to I think it's the Wayward Path or the Broken Path. Can't remember what it's called in the game. But there's a Zubat in there. So I went in there and was careful and caught a Zubat. And Zubat only knows Absorb, Astonish, and Supersonic. And I'm like, oh my god, okay. Because I was attempting to Nuzlocke this. I was like, okay, let's try to do a higher challenge. And, I fought a few battles against some Geodudes in that path and gained a couple levels. Okay, now we gotta move forward. And when you're moving toward the section of Mount Coronet that'll take you over to Orberg, there's an unavoidable trainer, and she's got a fucking Starly, who's, of course, immune to Astonish and resist Absorb, and I just wiped. Just wiped to this random girl with her fucking Starly. And I was like, never mind, I'll just take a mulligan. This will be the mulligan. I'm going to try to play through a Nuzlocke going forward from here. Run into another trainer who's got another fucking Starly. I'm like, never mind. No more Nuzlocke. Let's just get through. I'm playing through this because I want to get to the post game to fill up my living decks and Shining Pearl. Let's just get to the fucking end. But I did play through with a rogue team. I ended up with, of course, Skunk Tank and Honchkrow. Who are the other ones? Weavile actually stayed a Sneasel through the entire game because you can't get the Razor Claw until you get to Victory Road, and then you got to trade to evolve it. Gotcha. I did go into the underground and get a Houndoom, which was fun to use. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a pretty fun team to use. Really heavy on the poison type till I got till the end of the game, and I tried to lean more into dark type. I did not get a Toxicroak because I had just used it in a Shining Pearl run through. It was a cool Pokemon. Tentacool's in there for a rogue run, which is pretty fun. You can get Ghastly, Haunter, and take it up to a Gengar if you can trade.
We can't talk about ghosts.
That's a good point. I'm not going to mention anything else about Gengar, because he may or may not be a ghost. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
he's got feet, therefore not a ghost.
Mm, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, overall, still a pretty challenging run through, because, there are parts in these Gen 4 remakes where they're not pulling their punches. They're actually offering up solid teams and EV trained and strategic items held. When I got through the Elite Four, basically in order to unlock the National Dex, you have had to have seen every Pokemon within the Sinnoh 150. And if you play through the game by the time you get to the champ, once you beat Cynthia, there's a possibility that you've seen them all. So as soon as you start up your game again, they're like, oh, hey, here's the National Dex. I did not have them all. I only had 147 out of a possible 150. So I had to go see an unknown, and I had to hatch the Riolu egg in order to get those. And then the last one I was missing was a Drifloon. And I beat this game. It was just this past Sunday. And there is a trainer in the game that has a Drifloon. Otherwise, I would have to wait until Friday to see this thing at Valley Windworks. And this trainer is a junior trainer inside a gym. So it's entirely missable. Mm-hmm. So now I'm sitting at 149 in Wes's copy of Brilliant Diamond, waiting until tomorrow so I can go see a Drifloom. There's a chance I could see a Drifloom if I went into the Battle Tower, but I got caught up doing some things in Shining Pearl. I was able to farm a couple of legendaries in the park there. So
we can't talk about Drifloons.
Sure. That may or may not be a ghost as well. But yeah, I mean, overall, like... I had a good time playing through the game, but a lot of the problems we talked about still are persistent on multiple playthroughs. Like, it is very annoying in certain parts of the game to navigate because you just stick to everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Guys, do you want to do a quiz?
Yeah, let's do it.
I suppose.
Cool.
I am up for it.
Let's do it. So, this one is all about the ghost type. All
right.
So... The ghost type, as you guys are probably aware, was introduced in the first...
What's my team name?
Oh, team names. That's what we need, team names.
Oh, God, we have...
Team Misty and Team Wes... Well, who wants to be one? Who wants to be two? Who wants to go first?
I'll be one. That's
okay.
Okay.
Team Misty is going first because you got that Cerulean City gym shirt on.
All right, sweet.
And he's very pretty.
And Wes, you have a red shirt. You're Team Blaine.
Okay.
Okay.
And I do have a mustache.
That's a good point.
I'm just... The opposite of bold, though.
And you lock your house, but leave the key in the abandoned house next to you. So, yep. Blaine.
Yep. Yeah, I just watched Dial M for Murder, and a big thing about that was that they leave a door on the window, like, above the door frame, which is like, why even have a lock?
Right.
Like, how stupid?
Right, this is the first place a thief would check.
You know? Go on, sorry.
The ghost type was introduced in the first generation of Pokemon, but was subjectively ill-defined. It was allegedly supposed to be the counter to the psychic type, which didn't entirely work out in Gen 1. Adjustments were needed and made in later generations. The ghost type has gone through several offensive adjustments since it was introduced in Gen 1. In that first generation, it was super effective on only one type and had no effect on two types. Team Misty, in Generation 1, what are ghost-type moves super effective against?
I believe it's just ghost.
It is just ghost.
Yes.
That is good for a plus one.
Ugh. On the board. Insurmountable lead. Infinitely more points. Who are you, Blaine?
I'm Blaine.
Yeah. Blaine Gabbard over here.
Team Blaine, this is for a possible 2 points. This will balance out in the second half. Team Blaine, what two types are immune to ghost-type moves in Generation 1?
I mean, I believe it's still normal, no matter what.
Normal is one. That's normal a plus one.
Now, I know fighting can't hit ghost, but in Gen 1, I mean, I don't want to say psychic. That just seems wrong there. There was no dark.
There are two move types that ghosts are immune to. Normal is one. You got the one.
The ghost is immune to this? What
you're saying is correct. If you use a ghost type move against this type, it will have no effect. They are immune to ghosts.
God, I got no idea. I got it. But the second one, I don't know. I'll just go with fighting.
It is psychic.
It is psychic.
Psychics are immune to ghosts in Generation 1.
That's weird to me.
Bit of a misstep if ghosts is supposed to be your counter to psychic.
Yeah.
So when Gen 2 realigns the ghost type offensive effectiveness, it makes it super effective on psychic. So psychic goes from immune to ghost to weak to ghost.
Ash Ghost gets a ghost Pokemon in the show just to deal with the gym.
Precisely. Precisely. And then Haunter just disappears for the rest of the series.
Yeah, he just vanishes. That was it. He does get a Gengar in the newest series, though.
Gen 2 also introduced the Dark and Steel types, which gave Ghost type an extra weakness. Speaking of weaknesses, Ghost resists two types throughout all generations. It's persistent. So, Team Misty, what does the Ghost type resist?
Oh, thank
for
God.
A possible 2 points.
I probably would have gotten that one wrong.
What does it resist? Gosh, I'm not sure. I feel like it's two worthless things. Or like two things you don't typically attack with. Do I get two guesses?
Yeah, two guesses.
I'll throw a bug out there.
Bug is one.
Okay.
Good for a plus one.
Just kind of the types in my head, like, what would it resist? A lot of these don't make a lot of sense. I guess a psychic.
A poison. Poison's the other one.
Poison.
Which, that seems weird.
Team Blaine, for just 1 point for this one, so it evens out. In current generation Pokemon games.
Okay.
Yes or no question. Does Steel resist Ghost? 50-50.
That's weird. That's weird to me. I'm going to go no.
You are correct.
Bam.
It does not.
It actually used to.
It used to.
They did it.
And then in Gen 6, they realigned. I guess when they introduced the fairy type, they decided to realign.
So in Gen 2, Steel resisted?
Yeah. Steel resisted Ghost.
They decided 10 was too much.
Oh, guys, a random encounter. Player 1. The swirl pattern in this Pokemon's body is its weakness. If it gets stirred, the swirl loses its shape and it gets dizzy. What Pokemon is that? You can just take it. I'll read the description again. You can take a guess, or you can use your Silph Scope, and I'll give you three options.
Mm-hmm. Read it one more time for me.
The swirl pattern in this Pokemon's body is its weakness. If it gets stirred, the swirl loses its shape and it gets dizzy.
I can think of one off the top of my head that has a definite swirl pattern. I feel like you would just throw it into your three anyways.
I can't think of any.
A swirl pattern. Maybe if I hear all three,
What happens if he takes the Silph Scope?
So this would be 2 points, or if you use the Silph Scope, it would just be 1 point.
Oh.
Okay. I feel like you'll give me three, and I'll just go with this one anyways. I'll say Spiritomb.
It is Sinistee.
Dang.
The teacup.
Mm-hmm.
Team Blaine.
Okay.
Random encounter.
Oh, God.
If anyone dares to grab its hilt, it wraps a blue cloth around the person's arm and drains that person's life energy completely.
What is that? Come on.
I mean, Hone Edge.
It is Hone Edge for a plus two.
I feel dirty about that one.
Why? Seriously.
Like, I talked about a Pokemon getting stirred. You stir tea. So, depending...
We didn't catch that.
You said it was, like, spinning. It's like, Spiritomb spins. I feel like Spiritomb's a pretty good guess.
I think it was a good guess.
No.
I can't think of any with a swirl to it or anything like that.
But, God, how many Pokemon in the game have sheaths?
So, depending on what site you go to, I used a Pokemon database for this particular... estimation. There are 73 individual ghost-type Pokemon, including form changes, regional variants, legendaries, mythical Pokemon. Makes it tied for second rarest type with Fairy. The rarest type happens to be Ice. Since Generation 3 until Generation 8, each new generation has introduced at least three new species lines of ghost types. Gens 1 and 2 only had one new species line within the Ghastly line and Mistrevious, of course. So, starting with Team Misty, I will let you pick the generation you want. Misty picks first. Player 2, you have a little bit of an advantage because you get to hear...
What? I get to pick?
You get to pick.
Get to tell you all of them? And I get a point for each?
Hang on a second.
Hakuna Yatatas, all right? Slow down for a second.
You get to pick. That's your advantage. Player 2, your advantage is you get to hear all of his correct or incorrect answers, so you get to go in with a little bit more information. I want to know the new species lines that are ghost types throughout. For example, Decidueye would not count because it's only a ghost type in its final form. If it gets a new evolutionary step or form change that was given from a previous generation, I'm not counting that one. Only new ones that were introduced. No legendaries, mythicals, or events type stuff. Only new species lines. Single forms could be included there. I'll tell you how many there are. There are at least three in each generation. Okay. This is a one strike, you're out. And you get a point for everyone you get correct. So,
okay. I know seven introduced like 10.
There are...
But you made so many stipulations.
Right. There are a lot of stipulations here.
Oh my God.
And I'll go through the stipulations again.
I feel like we should have them written down and like on a poster or something. So, can we get a whiteboard in here?
I already know what I'm going to go with.
Gen 3 has three options, as does Gen 4. Gen 5 has four of them, so that's more optional points. Gen 6 has three, and Gen 7 has four that I'm looking for.
I'll do five should be... Gen 5 should be the easy one.
So Gen 5, there are four options. Whenever you're ready.
Just get the name of it. You want the fully evolved one of each?
Any step. Any step is fine.
Okay, so Gen 5, you get...
introduced new ghost-type species lines.
So, like...
could be single form.
If I got this right, Golett, Golurk.
That's one.
Is one. Frillish and... whatever.
Good enough, that's two.
Yamask.
That's three.
And the fire ghost one. Litwick.
Litwick, there you go.
There you go, it was all four.
There you go, plus four. Wes, just like that, you have Gen 3, 4, 6, and 7 you can choose from.
I think I'm just going to go 3 on this one.
Gen that will give you an optional plus 3. Gen 7 is how you would tie it up with a, or go for the most points.
I don't think I could do Gen 7. I think I only can do Gen 3.
Gen 3, there are three options. New species lines introduced that are ghosts throughout.
Okay. So there's Duskull.
Duskull is one.
There is Banette.
Yep, Shuffit Banette, that's two.
And then there is Sableye.
Sableye is three. There you go. Easy.
With a safe bet.
just for context, wait, I would not have counted Shedinja.
Why not, though?
It's not a ghost type throughout. Ninkeida is not a ghost.
Oh, so it has to start as a ghost.
Yeah, that was just a way of like trying to balance out the point distribution for this question.
I see.
So Gen 4, I would have been looking for Drifblim, Spiritomb, Rotom. I wouldn't have counted Mismagius, Dusknoir, Frostlass, or Giratina because those are new steps for current ghosts.
This
or
is like the shit
legendary.
I know, man.
Hmm?
This is the shit I know. Like, why aren't you telling me this? Like, you can't do Hoopa in Gen 6, and you can't do Trevenant, and you can't do Gorgeist. I can fucking tell you Gen 7 because I played so much Sun Moon.
You could do Phantom and Pumpkaboo. Those are ghosts. And
I guess those are original. Yeah,
yeah, those count.
But like Decidueye.
Decidueye, sure.
Or Oricorio. Mm-hmm. Palisand. You get the fucking regional variant of Marowak.
You may be helping me for later in this game.
Probably.
This should be okay. I mean, I'll tell you guys if you want.
If you have a Marshadow question, you're being mean.
There are no questions about legendaries or events.
If there's a Bucephalon question, you're being
mean. Bucephalon.
That's what you need to know if you played Sun and Moon.
Okay,
it's Ultra Beast. Okay.
There are no questions about Ultra Beasts. But because there are so few species lines...
No John Wings Necrozma? Come on!
Because there are so few species lines of ghost types, there are not very many repeating type combinations either. There are a couple of unique type combinations, but sometimes there are like repeating ones. Team Misty, I want to know about Jellicent. What's Jellicent weak to? What moves types are super effective on Jellicents? There are four.
It's weak to four things.
You give me four, and I will tell you how many you got right.
So Jellicent is water and ghost, right? So, and it's what would like water be weak to? Water is weak to electric and grass. So I would think that Pokemon is weak to both.
I need all four.
Oh, all four at the same time? Oh, yep. So those two. It'll also be weak to ghost, and I don't think water will help it with poison, so I'll say poison.
So you're saying... electric, grass, ghost, and poison.
Ghost and water aren't weak to poison.
Why are you helping him?
But he already answered.
I was confirming his answer.
Wait, what are you saying?
Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. He's...
So the question, if I understand the question,
what is Jellicent?
Four different types of attacks are super effective against a Jellicent.
Precisely.
Right?
So what you've told me so far is that electric, grass, ghost, and poison are super effective on a Jellicent.
So, the only thing, and you're putting doubt in my mind, that maybe water resists poison?
I don't think ghost is weak to poison. Is ghost weak to poison?
I am not helping you. Sorry. Why are you helping him?
Ghost. No, sorry. Ghost resists poison. Thank you for interrupting me, then.
Twice, all right? I don't... Like, he reiterated his answers, like, twice.
I think I got mixed up there on the typing. No, because I was thinking of fucking Tentacool.
I am going to do the same thing with you. I will confirm
what
you
fair.
Told
and
me.
And
I'll
be sure
my fault.
To interrupt in a way that helps you. So grass and electric, I will stick with those two. And yeah, it's ghost will be weak to ghost and dark. Those are my four.
Yes, all four of those are correct.
Okay.
Player two, same rules. What is Honedge weak to?
So Honedge is steel dark. No, steel ghost. Oh my god, I'm tired. So he's going to be weak to fire.
How many is it week two?
Am I four. It's four.
It's four again. Four, okay. Yeah. So it's going to be fire. I mean, fighting can't hit ghosts, but Steel's weak to fighting. That's weird. Unless I got rid of that. Steel versus... Wow, that one's hard. We'll fire ghost. Steel? I don't think steel's resistant to dark. It seems weird to me that would be. I don't know why. Yeah, I guess fighting... No, not fighting. Fire, ghost, dark. Screw it, fighting. I don't care.
So you're saying fire, ghost, dark, fighting.
Yeah, sure.
That's good for 3 out of 4.
Okay. Is it... Can I guess? Is it ground?
Yeah, it is ground. Oh. Yeah. So your instincts were correct. Its ghost type is going to make it immune to fighting, but okay. Fire is still weak to ground.
I can't think what else the steel would be weak to that...
So it actually is pretty rare that a ghost type will negate a weakness. Honedge is one of the rare examples. There are, of course, some exceptions to that. Like, when it's paired with dark, it gives it quite a few resistances until, like, the fairy type was introduced that had no weaknesses. But most combinations just end up stacking weaknesses together. So there are some times where, like, a ghost Pokemon will have a levitate ability that will negate a ground weakness. So, like, a Rotom. Gengar used to have that one. The levitate ability that would negate
it. I'm gonna get rid of that, because it's a bit unfair.
Mm. But speaking of abilities...
It's a bit too awesome.
There is a single ability that only appears on ghost-type Pokemon. It's Cursed Body. And Cursed Body has a 30% chance to disable a move that damages that Pokemon. The Pokemon that has the ability. Team Misty, which of these Pokemon have the Cursed Body ability? Is it Yamask, Froslass, or Cursola?
You know, well, so when Yamask evolves, it gets Mummy, but I don't know what it has when it's in its Yamask form. You said Cursola and Froslass. So Froslass is a tricky one. I don't know what she would have. What does the ability do again? You told me that.
Cursed Body, when a damaging move damages the Pokemon that has that ability, there's a 30% chance that it disables that move.
It's like curiosity. Does that account for physical and special?
Either one. Okay. When it takes damage from a damaging move. Okay.
That's tricky. I guess it could be any three of them.
So maybe you think of like Flame Body, where it had to be a physical move to hit him. Because Flame Body won't do on a special.
I'm not confident in this, but the word curse is in its name. I'll say Cursola.
It is Froslass.
Yeah.
Team Blaine, which of these Pokemon does not have the Cursed Body ability?
Oh, goddammit.
Is it Frillish, Dreepy, or Palossand? One of those does not have Cursed Body. As a possible ability. Frillish.
It's Dreepy.
Is Palossand.
Damn it! I didn't think Dreepy would have. He's so squishy. Like, why would he also have fucking Cursed Body? He gets one-shotted.
Yeah, so Palossand does not have Cursed Body. It does have the ability Water Compaction, which will raise his defense by 2 stages when it's hit with a water move. It doesn't negate damage, though. It doesn't negate damage or weakness, because Palossand is, of course, weak to water moves. So there are a few non... That's Palossand's signature ability. That's like the one that he... His main one.
That's right. Yeah, that makes sense.
There are a few non-legendary ghost types that have signature abilities that no other Pokemon have. Team Misty, one of those signature abilities is Disguise. What does it do and who has it? For 2 points.
Oh, I bet that sounds like something Mimikyu would do. So I'll say Mimikyu and... constructs a
right, for both, like there is a one stipulation here for both of you. Abilities have shifted around a little bit from gen to gen, so I'm giving a bit of leeway when it comes to this. So as long as you're like within the arena.
Yeah. I mean, so that will be my guess, is that it's Mimikyu and it puts forth an obstacle that you have to damage before you can damage Mimikyu itself.
Yeah. Yeah, so it reduces damage to the first damage-dealing move used on that Pokemon. As of Gen 8, the damaging move now does 1/8 damage to Mimikyu. It's not like a total barrier.
Okay.
Oh, so, yeah. That's disappointing.
Team Blaine, what Pokemon has the Steelworker ability, and what does it do?
I know this one.
It's got to be... Oh, fuck, what is the name of that anchor? Is it Delmise? Is that the name of that thing? What is the name of that goddamn anchor? I think his name is Delmise. I feel silly if it's not. But I'll go Delmise, and steel moves are more effective, or they deal more damage. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a Delmise, and it boosts the power of steel type moves by 50%. So it makes them as if they are stab moves.
Nice.
Higher or lower?
Oh boy.
You guys, so you each got a Pokemon here. I am going to tell you.
He really likes this question.
Oh, I love higher or lower.
Did he invent this, or did you invent this question?
I don't know.
I don't know if either one of us invented the game higher or lower.
I think it was probably
in the sense of the Pokemon show.
You know, I feel like I'm the vanguard of the Pokemon quiz show, in spite of having not done one in about a year.
Yes, if you're the one who, like, works at, like, angels and demons and the act of God in your
quest. Oh, that would have been a good theme for the ghost type.
I remember I literally looked up frequently used Price is Right games in an effort that maybe I could just spin one of these things into one. Although, I don't know, it could have been you, could have been me, I don't know.
So I'm going to give each of you a Pokemon. We'll go Team Misty first, and we'll go through all of the stats. I'm going to tell you the base stat of this Pokemon. I'm going to be wrong. The correct answer is within 10 points. Higher or lower, you just got to tell me if the real stat is actually higher or lower than what I'm telling you. Team Misty, you got Chandelure.
Chandelure.
Chandelure's base HP is 50.
I don't think it has a lot of HP, but you said it's at least 10 or at most 10 difference?
It is exactly 10.
Oh, it's exactly 10.
In one direction or another.
Oh, so I would think it's more likely that it's 60 than 40, so I will say that it's higher.
It is higher.
Okay.
Chandelure's attack is 65.
So that would be 75 or 55. You know, it's probably still got... I mean, I feel like it's going to have a lot more special attack, but I feel like it... You know what? I'll say lower. Is it lower?
It is lower. It is a paltry 55 physical attack.
Ooh. All right.
Chandelure's defense is 80.
80 sounds like about what it should be. I don't think it's particularly bulky, and it's got 60 HP, we said. Sorry, what was it? You said 80?
I said 80.
I'm going to say it's lower.
It is higher. Ooh. Chandelure has a base 90.
That's pretty defense. Solid.
How would this game be if it was higher, lower, or even?
Oh, that would be mean.
Oh,
that'd
be so shitty. Because 80 sounded just right.
The shitty thing to do is to be like, but one of them is exactly correct. Double points if you could tell me if that's exactly correct.
Oh, that's mean.
No, go on.
Chandelure's special attack is 135.
I mean, 145, that is really off the charts. 125 sounds pretty good, though. Like, 125 sounds reasonable. I'll go 125.
Chandelure's base special attack is really off the charts. It is 145.
Yeah, it is.
It's higher.
This is why I love this thing.
Chandelure's special defense is 80.
What was the defense on the other one again?
For Chandelure, the physical defense, the actual physical defense is 90.
It was 90. I think it'd be weird that it would have... I'll say special defense is higher.
Yeah, special defense is higher. Base special defense is 90.
Okay.
And finally, Chandelure's base speed is 90.
That actually feels a little high. I mean, maybe it's fast, but I don't know if it's that fast. I mean, 90 is really good speed to have anyways. I'll say it's lower, 80.
It is lower, yeah. Okay. Base special defense of 80. So that's good for +4 there.
He's got decent HP, he's got decent defenses, he hits like a truck, and speed's not bad, so...
This thing's great.
Yeah, Chandelure's real good.
Don't gotta sell me on it. I know it's good.
Team Blaine, you got Dragapult.
Let's talk
about this pseudo-legendary from the Galar region.
Oh, God.
Blaine, Dragapult's HP is 98.
Lower.
It is lower. Base 88. Dragapult's attack is 130.
Oh, shit. Higher.
It is higher. Oh, God, no, sorry. It is lower.
God,
120.
No, you said higher first. We got to go with that.
Well, I mean, what
just like if I mispriced something at work, I got to give them that price. I mean,
I don't think you do have to. Dragapult's base defense is 85.
I know it's squishy-ish. It's not the squishiest guy, but he's fast as frack. God, lower.
It is lower.
Okay.
It is 75. Dragapult's
that seemed way higher
special attack is 90.
Higher?
Oh, is that like that sounded like a question. Is that your answer?
I'm going to go higher.
Okay, it is higher. It is 100.
Answering these questions has weakened you.
Dragapult's special defense is 85.
God. 95 special defense? Seems weird. Go lower again.
It is lower.
Okay.
75. And Dragapult's speed is 132.
God. Higher.
It is higher. It's 142. Okay. Well done.
It's like really everything good. With them. Yeah, I think I just missed the one.
As stressful as that was for you, you got all but one correct. Random encounter. Team Misty. It carries people and Pokemon when it flies. But since it only drifts, it can end up anywhere.
Do I have to know the specific... if this has an evolutionary step, do I need to say which one?
And this is specific. So it carries people and Pokemon when it flies. But since it only drifts, it can end up anywhere.
So
you can use your cell scope.
Blim and Drift Loon. I'm trying to think of which is which. I think Drift Blim is the first one, and it's like the little guy with the tendrils, and the other one's a lot bigger. I think. I don't know. I'm just going to take the easy points. What are my options? Wait. You wouldn't give me both of them if I did that, right? Is it three different species?
You get three options.
If you use your cell scope. Do I get three different species, or do I get three?
It's going to cost you a cell scope to find out.
To find out if you're being a dick.
That would suck. Oh.
Well, no, actually, if you think about the naming conventions, a balloon. Drift Loon might be the balloon, and Drift Blim might be a blimp. I mean, the naming convention says it's probably Drift Blim. Read the thing one more time.
It carries people and Pokemon when it flies. But since it only drifts, it can end up anywhere.
I'll say Drift Blim.
It's Miss Maggie's.
It is Drift Blim, which is good for a +2. Team Blaine, the body is inhabited by a spirit trapped in this world. As the sun sets, it becomes restless and active.
Fuck.
That's a tough one.
The fuck?
The body is inhabited by a spirit trapped in this world. As the sun sets, it becomes restless and active.
See, it makes me think that's Spirit Tomb. Because essentially it's a rock, but that doesn't sound like a body. So that was my first thought. So that seems wrong to me. What else is being possessed? It's not Confagoras or Runerigus or anything like that. Because those are, again, a sarcophagus and a rock. Well, it is trapped. Could be Runerigus.
Would you like to use your self scope?
I have to. There's no way I get this.
All right, so using your self scope, here's your three options. It could be Delmise, Cofagrigus, or Pumpkaboo.
It's got to be Cofagrigus.
It is Pumpkaboo.
What?
I don't feel so bad about the last one.
The
Ouch.
Fuck?
That's a tough one. That's a mean one. What was the... Can you read it again?
The body is inhabited by a spirit trapped in this world. As the sun sets, it becomes restless and active.
Okay, but pumpkin is a body. That's not
a... The pumpkin is only a body. Like, that's all there is to it.
I mean, that coffin... I don't know. That's... The Cofagoras, you could think maybe there's a body in the coffin.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I would think, like, if that's a description to go for Cofagoras, it would be like the body inside is...
That's a point. What's the point count? How far behind am I?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Hang on, let's do
it. It's not good.
You've only been doing like one or two points. You're probably pretty close.
I'm going to guess I'm four below.
So that's 1-1, 2-2, 2-4. Let's see. 6-7. 10-10. All tied up on that one.
Wow.
12-12. 16-17. 18-17. So
18-17. I'm only down by one.
Down by one point.
There you go. All right.
And actually, I'm going to write that. I'm going to make a note of that so we don't say. What I said 18-17?
Yes.
So we have a point count going up to here. And now it's time for actually. I'm going to give you both summaries of ghost type moves.
But I'm the only one with glasses.
Uh-huh. All information is from the most current generation with these moves available, excluding Legends Arceus. So from Galar, these are the move descriptions that I'm using. I have gotten one thing intentionally wrong. You got to tell me what's wrong, correct it, and you have to start it all with actually. So, okay. Team Misty, Hex. Hex is a special attacking ghost move with 65 base power, 15 PP, and gets a 50% boost in base power when its target is afflicted with a non-volatile status condition.
All that sounds pretty right.
So a special attack with 65 base power, 15 PP, and a 50% boost in base power when its target is afflicted with a non-volatile status condition.
So both of those I kind of question. It's like... I feel like it could be 60 instead of 65, and I feel like it could be 10 PP instead of 15. But both also sound reasonably enough, right? Could you read it one more time?
Yeah, it is a special attack with 65 base power, 15 PP, and gets a 50% boost in base power when its target is afflicted with a non-volatile status condition.
I think it's a 50% piece you're talking about.
And in case anyone's wondering, a non-volatile status condition is a status condition that is persistent when a Pokemon is switched out or after battle. Something like poison, paralysis, sleep. Something like confusion would not count because that is something that, or affection, being in love. That goes away when you switch out.
Love is temporary.
I'll say, actually, it is 10 PP.
No. Hex gets a 100% boost in power. It doubles in power to a base 130.
All right.
Team Blaine.
I also thought it was 60 attack. So, but I knew it doubled.
Team Blaine.
Yes.
Lick. Is a physical attack with 30 base power, 30 PP, and has a 30% chance to paralyze the target unless the target is a ghost type. Lick is a physical attack with 30 base power, 30 PP, and a 30% chance to paralyze the target unless it's a ghost type. I feel
like 30 is too high for the percent chance. There's no way on earth I'm going to get this right. Actually, there's only a 20% chance to paralyze.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. It can paralyze ghosts.
Oh.
In Gen 1, it could not. Ever since then, it can.
Wow. Right.
Did they change the damage of that as well?
I think, yeah.
Did it get a boost up at one point?
Yeah, I think it was 20 base power at one point.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Gen 1. Back to Team Misty.
Oh boy.
Let's talk about Shadow Ball. Shadow Ball is a special attack with 90 base power, 100% accuracy, 15 PP, and has a 20% chance to lower its target's special defense by one stage. That's Shadow Ball. A special attack with 90 base power, 100% accuracy, 15 PP, and a 20% chance to lower special defense by one stage.
There's a lot there that it could be.
Oh, that sounds right.
actually, it only does 80 damage.
The base power is 80, yeah.
Oh! All
right.
So, back over to Team Blaine. Shadow Claw. Shadow Claw is a physical attack with 70 base power, 100% accuracy, 15 PP, and has a 20% chance to flinch the target.
How much damage does it do?
So, Shadow Claw, a physical attack with 70 base power, 100% accuracy, 15 PP, with a 20% chance to flinch.
Actually, it's 75.
No.
It crits.
It crits.
Oh.
Has a crit chance.
Yeah. Oh. I assumed the bed. I wasn't paying close. I was locked on the numbers.
You were paying attention to the numbers.
I was paying attention to the numbers. I knew it crit.
Back to Misty. All right. Shadow Punch is a physical attack with 60 base power, 90% accuracy, 20 PP, and has no added effect or no extra description needed. The end. It's a physical attack with 60 base power and 90.
Would I have to, if it did a thing, would I have to know what it is? Actually, it does a thing.
you would have to know, yes.
I'd have to know if it was a thing.
Okay. Physical attack, 60 base power, 90% accuracy, 20 PP, no added effect.
60 damage feels pretty low. How much PP was it?
I said 20.
20.
Physical attack, 60 base power, 90% accuracy, and 20 PP, no added effect.
It'd be weird that you go back to the well and give me another one where the damage is just wrong.
That would be weird, wouldn't it?
But I would think it's 65. I don't know. One more time, all the way through with everything.
Shadow Punch. That is a physical attack with 60 base power, 90% accuracy, 20 PP, with no added effect.
Oh! I might be able to logic into this one. Actually, up until that generation, all ghost moves were 100% accurate. So it's, I'm going to say that it's not 90, it's 100% accurate.
We're only talking about the latest gen.
Shadow Punch came out before that, didn't it?
So you've stumbled onto the thing that's wrong.
Oh, god damn it.
Oh, is it not 90?
But it's not necessarily 100% accurate.
It can't miss.
It bypasses all accuracy checks.
That's what I meant. You gotta give me that.
So the difference is, like, if someone's 100% accurate, you can lower its accuracy with something like a sand attack. But if someone bypasses all accuracy checks...
Because that's what I was telling you, man. Like, Lick, Nightshade, they bypass accuracy. They're 100% accurate. They always hit.
We're going to give it a provisional point.
You damn right are giving me a provisional point. I told you what it is.
And see how the point checks shakes out.
Oh, come
on.
That
was real close.
Jesus.
Team Blaine.
Yeah.
Shadow Sneak. It is a special attack with 40 base power, 100% accuracy, 30 PP, and has a +1 priority.
Actually, Shadow Sneak can't miss.
Oh, bingo. He gets point.
No. Shadow Sneak is a ghost. No, that's wrong. Shadow Sneak is a ghost type quick attack. I'm tired. God, I'm tired. One more time. What's everything? I already said I'm actually. That was my guess. I already said I'm actually.
Let's give you another guess, but give Ryan the provisional point.
Okay.
Sounds fair?
That's fair.
Okay, so we'll give Ryan the point for that because he was so damn close.
Come on, I told you exactly. I can't believe you're splitting hairs.
There is a difference between 100% accuracy and can't miss. Like, there is.
See, I'll hug up on that there for a second as well.
Shadow Sneaks. Special attack with 40 base power, 100% accuracy, 30 PP, has a +1 priority.
Oh my god. I'm so
Shadow tired. Sneak.
I'm so tired.
Special attack, 40 base power, 100% accuracy, 30 PP, +1 priority. Meaning it would move first against a move that just has a regular priority.
Actually, is it a physical?
It is a physical move, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Come on. Can't believe he gets two guesses at that. What is this?
There are a number of status conditions associated with the ghost types.
You're already ahead like 2 points. You're fine.
I'm barely ahead. Like one question wrong and you win.
I do have a tiebreaker. Ghost types can already learn a ton of different status ailments just to kind of irritate opponents of different type alignments. So Toxic, that's a poison move. A lot of ghosts can learn it. Will-O-Wisp is one that's really associated with ghost type. It's actually a fire move. Hypnosis. All of these are available to a lot of different ghost Pokemon, but are not ghost-type moves. There are a few different moves that can cause confusion as a side effect, but one of the most common ways to cause confusion is with Confuse Ray, which is a ghost-type move with 100% accuracy. When a Pokemon is confused, the ghost-type status ailment, instead of using a move, it may do damage to itself instead of the target. Confusion. Team Misty In the most current mainline generation, not Arceus, what is the chance a Pokemon afflicted with confusion will hit itself instead of the intended target?
I'll just say a flat 50% chance.
It's 33. In Gens 1 through 6, it was 50. They lowered it down to 33.
Okay.
Plus, you didn't say I'm actually.
We're done with them, actually.
Oh, we're done.
Yeah. Team Blaine, what is the base power of that self-damaging hit?
I don't know, because it always seemed different. Base power... I have no idea. Actually, it's 20.
No, it is 40. It's 40. The base power of 40, so it's like tackling yourself. Or using a quick attack against yourself. Back to Misty for one more about confusion.
Okay.
Is it physical or special damage?
I really have no idea. I'll say it's physical.
It is physical, yeah. Which is why, Wes, to your point, it always does seem different because it is a base 40 physical move. Pokemon have different defenses. When it's hitting itself, it does still apply.
Plus Swagger is a bitch. Those
damage calculations.
No, good point.
Team Blaine, mm-hmm. for the last one, real easy, yes or no. Does the self-damage that is inflicted have a type associated with it? Is a 50-50 yes or no?
No.
You are correct. The damage
done psychotic.
Is typeless. Therefore, like no stab or weakness or resistance is applied to that self damage.
That'd be psychotic.
That would be, wouldn't it?
I'd be like, it was pointless to confuse this Clefairy because fairy is resistant to. That doesn't make any sense.
So there are a couple other status conditions associated with ghosts. Curse is a volatile status condition that can only be applied by a ghost, barring some sort of crazy workaround using like trick or treat or a type switch going on. Curse is a move that affects ghost type differently than it affects other types. By using the move Curse, the user cuts its own HP and applies the status condition onto the opponent, which will reduce the opponent's HP by a certain amount every turn. That's Curse. Team Misty, when a ghost Pokemon uses Curse, how much of its own HP does it cut?
Oh. That's the harder part of that question.
I'll say half.
It is half.
Okay.
It is not that much harder. Team Blaine, how much HP damage is afflicted to the Pokemon per turn?
I have no idea.
You've used Curse before.
I have, but I don't know like how this. Much it is. Like
he didn't have the like he wasn't measuring numbers. The pixels with
like, the ruler. Like I don't know its damage. There's nowhere in the game where it just flat out says it does this much damage. Like it's, how the fuck am I gonna? How much HP? I mean, I'm guessing it's a is there a percentage?
Well, everything's a percentage.
Well, that's fair.
It's like 0.833333.
I don't know if it's dealing damage or if it's doing percentage health damage.
I am looking. So, if you remember from my description, it cuts its own HP by a percentage and then reduces the HP of the opponent by a percentage every turn.
20%.
You are so fucking close. It is 1/4, 25%. If you got a curse, you're dead in 4 turns.
I was thinking it was 25, yeah. But, I mean, that's a tough one.
If you say so. Nightmare is a discontinued status ailment as of Gen 8. Nightmare is no longer selectable in battle if your Pokemon knows it. It was a ghost-type status condition that could only be applied when the target was asleep and ends when the afflicted Pokemon wakes up. This was introduced in Gen 2, where due to a bug or some sort of oversight in the programming, if a Pokemon afflicted with Curse was woken up by a full heal or a full restore, the nightmare would continue, even when the Pokemon was awake.
Weird.
Holy shit, that's horrifying.
It's a living, oh god, it's a waking right. Nightmare.
You think you've healed your Pokemon that was like in this, like, slumber with a nightmare happening, but all you've done is given it a waking nightmare.
Oh god.
Likewise in Generation 3, if a Pokemon afflicted with a nightmare wakes up due to an ability Shed Skin, the nightmare continues. There was something about stacking these status ailments that just confused the game when you tried to use,
and instead of fixing it, they just said fuck it and just took it out.
Well, in Gen 8 they took it out, but like from Gen 4 onward they were able to work out. it's having these stacking. It's a weird
move. I can't think of any... Who fucking uses Nightmare? I mean, that's just...
I really... You know, there was like a really esoteric way of playing in Gen 2, but in Gen 2, when I would use a Gengar, I would have it have Hypnosis, Curse, and Nightmare, and Dream Eater as like a sleep set. But, you know, by the time you set up the Hypnosis, the Curse, and then get a Nightmare on it, it was just pretty much dead because you had 2 damage of Curse on there. Mm. Anyway, neither here nor there. So,
which is 25%, by the way, Brian.
Team Misty, uh-huh. What percent of the Pokemon's HP is reduced by a Nightmare? What percentage or fraction? Give me either one.
I'm tempted to just say half. Half.
25%.
Okay.
1/4. Same as Curse. Player 2, there are 6 Pokemon that use... that used to learn, they no longer do. 6 Pokemon that used to learn Nightmare by level up. There are a ton of Pokemon that can learn it by TM, HM, Egg, not HM, TM, Egg Move, Move Tutor, that kind of thing.
I forgot the movie existed.
6 Pokemon that can learn Nightmare by level up. Name one. Just one for 1 point.
Oof.
Name a Pokemon.
Fuck. Not gonna be Gengar. I would love it. It's like Banette. I don't know why. I have no idea why, but I would just. That Pokemon's so useless. I'm not gonna say it because that Pokemon's useless. It's not gonna be Duskull. Because that move would be useless.
Wouldn't it?
Nightmare would be useless if. Like,
wouldn't it?
I know there's other ways to put people to sleep, like there's Yawn, but I can't think of any ghost types that learn Yawn. That's typically like a normal type thing. There's things like Sleep Powder and stuff like that, but I can't think of any ghosts. There's only one ghost plant, one ghost grass, and that doesn't...
the plant type?
The plant type.
That's gotta be the next quiz, all about the plant type.
I think that's better than grass. I mean, come on, that's...
I think it's a bit more inclusive, sure. Yeah. Like, because there are, like, tree Pokemon, but they're not plant type, they're grass type.
Yeah. Fuck it, Gengar.
Yeah, Gengar's one of them.
Okay, cool.
That's good for 1 point.
All right, cool.
What generation was it introduced in?
It was introduced in Gen 2.
So that probably tells you it's got to be at least one of 2 Pokemon. That's Gengar or Mistreavis.
Very good point.
There's only 2 ghosts.
That is a very good point.
That's also presuming that it is...
exclusively ghosts, yeah.
Right, that a ghost can learn the move. Because Hypno can learn it. He's one of them.
Shit, I hate you so much. I didn't even think of that. I'm just thinking of ghost types.
Darkrai, well, I would have counted Ghastly, Haunter, or Gengar. Those were 3 of the 6.
Oh, okay.
Hypno is the other one. Drowsy does not learn it. It has to be Hypno. And then
your dog is chewing on something.
Yeah, he found a wrapper for a candy, not like Tupac is under there. And then the last one is the last two are Darkrai, the legendary, and then Muna from Gen 5.
Great.
Yep. I'm gonna do a quick point calculation here since we are at the end. So that's 1917, 2017, 2018, 2118, 2119, 2219, 2220. 2220. Ryan comes away with the victory. Team Misty.
That was a close one.
Just barely. All right. You guys want to do the tiebreaker anyway?
Bitch about my second guess.
You guys want to do that?
I can't believe you were really going to bust my balls over something being 100%
accurate.
Accuracy. Actually,
based on the nature of the question, it needs to be accurate.
If there was one point that though I had to be pedantic, it was the actually
you
section.
You needed to be more accurate with your accuracy.
I'm going
to
take my cut off jean shorts and red suspenders and get the fuck out of here. What was the tiebreaker? Let's hear it.
So the tiebreaker, it is ranking Pokemon by weight. Do you guys want to do it? Or do you
totally, I love these questions. All right.
Cool. All right.
I got you some paper. I got you some pens.
Okay. We need more than one book.
Yeah, I know. I know how this works.
No, Wes, you have to use your leg.
Yeah. You get the bat pen.
So here's... I like that pen.
Fair enough.
Winner gets the sucky.
So you need to rank these Pokemon by their weight.
Okay, let's hear it.
Gengar, Miss Magius, Dusk Noir, Spiritomb, Golurk, Goregeist, average weight. We're not messing with like the small, extra large, anything like that.
This is so many. How many are you gonna name?
Palosand.
What the fuck?
Aegislash. That's it.
That's it? That's like 10. Typically we used to do 4.
I needed to eliminate as many chances there are for a tie here. This is the tiebreaker.
So we do them from heaviest to lightest?
You can do heaviest to lightest if you want.
Okay.
That'd be fine.
Okay, I'm pretty confident about my top one.
Yeah, same here. I mean, that's pretty...
Oh, I hope it's different. I hope you both are super confident and only one of you is right. Eating carpet, you weirdo.
Okay, I'm good.
I'm almost.
I mean, we're probably gonna break after the first like two or three, so
Now I'm just straight up guessing.
If we have the exact same list, that will be a real motherfucker. That's for sure.
Actually, that's probably wrong. But okay, I'm probably way off.
Ready?
Okay.
Golurk.
Golurk.
Golurk is the heaviest.
Yeah. Palosand.
I went Dustmore.
It is Palosand.
Damn!
Right, so Ryan's got two in the right place. Team Missy, why don't you give me the rest of them? See how many you got in the right place here.
Aegislash?
Nope.
Goregeist?
Nope.
Spiritomb?
Nope.
What is that? Dustmore?
Nope.
Miss Magius, Gengar.
So you got two in the right place.
Okay.
The two heaviest. Team Blaine, why don't you give me from top to bottom and see how many you got in the right place here.
Golurk?
Uh-huh.
I went Dustmore, which is wrong.
Nope.
Aegislash, also the same spot, which is wrong. Palosand there, which is wrong. Then I went Goregeist.
Nope.
Gengar.
Nope.
Smag.
Nope.
Spirit.
You got one right. So Ryan, Team Misty.
Fuck!
Which again, two correct, dude. Just knocking that one out of the park.
So the correct from heaviest to lightest would be Golurk, of course. Then Palosand. Palosand is next.
I mean, technically, yeah, because it's part of the ground. So technically, by technicality, Palosand should be the heaviest because his weight should be equivalent to the Earth.
Mm. But there is a point where Palosand ends and the Earth begins. There would have to be because there are other Pokemon that are in the ground.
You think that?
They just add to his weight.
It's just another Palosand.
It's just more Palosand.
It extends till the next Palosand.
What happens about this? You can't grab Palosand and pick him up off the ground.
You absolutely can, yeah.
You can catch him in a Pokeball.
When you catch him in a Pokeball, it doesn't absorb the entire Earth.
I mean, it kind of does, though, is the problem.
when he's in the Pokeball...
You didn't see that episode where all of the existence was undone because Ash caught a fucking Palosand?
He just was suffocating and freezing in space because... All of a sudden, the Earth was gone.
The infinite vacuum of space.
I guess there would still be like water and air left. It was just absorbing the Earth. What about rock? Yeah.
Little do you know that we are all inside a Pokeball right now with Palosand.
God, wouldn't that be an amazing existence?
Yeah, no, it was just Ash floating in space with a Gigalith. That's it. Nothing else.
Palosand, second heaviest, followed by Spiritomb.
God.
Then Dusknoir. Then Aegislash, Gengar, Goregeist, Miss Magius, the lightest, at a trim 4.4 kilograms.
Wow.
Yeah, really.
You're not supposed to ask a woman her weight, but, you know.
What the fuck is a kilogram?
It's metric.
Yeah.
I have them all down in metric, but it wouldn't matter because it's the same ranking, whether it's
1,000 grams.
How many stones is it?
All right. They're actually doing this thing at the gym because I swim. Pretty frequently, usually like 5
measure in kilograms.
He will not stop bragging about that.
All right.
It's like, how do you know if Ryan swims? Don't worry, he'll tell you. No. They're doing a 100-mile challenge. So you got to swim 100 miles.
A day?
Yeah, that's what you got to do, man. I got to swim halfway across the fucking state. No. Oh, it's overtime, of course. And they measure it in meters. Okay. It's annoying because it's laps.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So then I have to convert laps. Because like 40, essentially what, 10 laps is 500 meters. So I usually do 40 laps when I swim. So it's like, okay, I'm doing 2,000 meters. And I'm so confused about when I actually have to convert this shit into miles. I'm terrified of doing it. Like, I just know that it's like a mile and a half every time.
Doing like 2,000 meters a day?
Yeah.
In the session? So, you know, you get up to...
It's like 2 kilometers, which is probably like a mile and something.
You do 40 laps a day?
2 kilometers. I think 2 kilometers is slightly under a mile.
I just do 40 laps if I want to kill myself.
You get used to it. It's repetition.
After the wee peak ends, you finally get used to it.
I mean, the first time I was like swimming, I got gassed after doing like 3 laps. And then I just kind of like had to take a minute.
You build up
like
the stamina.
Yeah, sure. So now I can pretty much just, I could swim 100 laps. And I'd be really tired afterwards, but I could totally do it. Anyway, it's like, the conversions are too annoying.
Mm.
Like, they're telling me I have lengths of a pool, which convert to meters, into kilometers, and then into miles. And it's this whole flow chart, and it's like, I'm already wet because I've been swimming. And I've got the pen in my hand, and I'm trying to write down my numbers and not get everyone else's papers wet. Well, there's like a fucking aerobics class going on behind me, and I look like a total fucking moron, and it's like, I'm an accountant. I work with numbers all goddamn day, and I can't figure out how to fill out this stupid chart.
Do you want me to convert it to right? Great Britain pounds? I can do that.
Why do you have to do it in the pool? Like, can't you just hop off and go to a table or something? You got.
Well, that's when I get out of the pool and I'm done swimming.
Okay.
I can't just, I mean, I guess I could write it before.
Maybe you said, like, somebody walk up with a clipboard while you're in the pool. Like, no, you stay in there and do this shit.
No, it's, yeah, it's,
you can't leave until you've logged it.
Yeah, it's this clipboard that's right by, like, the lockers. So everyone, like, can fill out their shit before they go in and take a shower.
Why couldn't you just put down how many laps you did and make them figure that shit out?
Like, I'll have to add them all up eventually. Oh, and it's just a big grid. There's no organization to it on how I'm supposed to fill this thing out. So at first I started doing it vertically, and I'm like, wait a minute, this makes no sense. So now I've got 5 days in a row, like five in a... Oh, I don't know why we're talking about this. You're not recording, are you?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, it's going in.
We're still gone.
Continue.
Let's pick this up on the mini show. What is our next show?
Retro. Retro is up next.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a great show, you guys.
I've seen, I think, 4 of the 5 big movies.
I got to buckle down and actually start watching these things.
What are the movies?
Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor.
Skipping that.
I'm trying to think of what's even worse.
Jeez, we talked about this the last time we were
together. Mummy Returns.
Oh, yeah,
Mummy Returns. Shrek. You've seen Shrek. You love Shrek.
I like Shrek.
I didn't see Moulin Rouge, but that's one of them. And what is the fourth? Because there were 4 movies that made at least $100 million.
I don't remember what the last one was either. But we also got like a bunch of games, like the Legend of Zelda Oracle games, Seasons and Ages, came out.
Nice.
In May of 2001. Yeah, so those will be really great to talk about, finally. We've been talking about those for like a year now. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Game Boy Advance, because it launches in June of 2001.
There's so like we got 10 games on that list, too.
Oh yeah, there is a ton of games.
Deep catalog, just like right off the bat.
Yeah, it's crazy. When I was starting to put together like the list of Game Boy Advance games coming out. And Metacritic has a really great like compiled list. I do have to do some double checking to make sure I didn't miss anything. But they like compiled it all, like really well organized by North American release date, whereas like Wikipedia is just a cluttered mess. The list is really hard to organize. But yeah, there are... When I first started doing it, I was like, okay, well, you know, the Game Boy Advance has got a bunch of really great games, but they're probably going to be, like, spread out, like, maybe a couple of games a month. No, there are months where there's, like, 8 games.
Yeah.
It's insane how, like, condensed the library is, because, you know, we get the DS coming out at the tail end of 2004. So, you know, 2005 is still a pretty good year for the Game Boy Advance, but pretty much from June 2001 until, like, August 2005, we got a 4-year window where all these games are coming out.
Nice.
Yeah, we have to rename the show too, because we'll talk about the last N64 game and some Mario Party. I think it's Mario Party 3.
Yeah, then we're gonna like Viking funeral it.
Yeah,
put all our 64s into a boat and just light it on fire and push it out in the middle of the ocean.
Yep.
No, we have to push it out in the middle of the ocean and shoot it with a flaming arrow.
Right, that's gonna be great. How good are your kids with archery?
So great.
That was the answer I was hoping for.
See, you say these things, but at the same time, I would believe that for Mika.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, yep, Mika could just pin a guy right between the eyes from 100 yards, no problem.
She doesn't even need the bow. Nope. Just chuck an arrow.
Yep.
And you guys aren't going to stop me. There will be a discussion about music.
Yes.
If you want to prepare yourselves for some albums.
I have prepared myself for an album.
Okay.
I listened to that Sum 41 at a Fat Lip.
That was what I was going to say. Yeah, All Killer No Filler came out.
Oh, that's right. Fat Lip, was that one of the singles?
That's right? Yeah, that's one of the big tunes on it. Green Day. Weezer released the Green Album.
That's right, yes.
That was another really big one. Like, Destiny's Child had a big record come out. Missy Elliott had a big record. Tool released their biggest record, pretty much, Lateralis.
Mm.
So those are all, like, a bunch of hit records came out. So
yeah,
there will be a few other interesting things to talk about along the way, but those are the big ones. If you listen to that Sum 41 record, that's about as big one.
Yeah, we can talk about how they're trying their hardest to get on the Tony Hawk soundtrack.
Exactly.
God, what a good soundtrack.
Actually, hey, fucking Outkast, man. Legit.
Oh, one of the punk albums. That, there's only two punk albums, but one of the punk albums we'll talk about was on the Tony Hawk 4 soundtrack.
Okay.
Apparently.
That's fun.
Because people were like, they remembered this one song from it. So.
But yeah, so yeah, that'll be a good show to...
What
you listen to West continue
to sing. That's not the Tony Hawk thing. It's my favorite song of the... I don't know. It was just the one song I always listened to when I was on playing Tony Hawk. It's like, here I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not singing this anymore. All right.
We'll wait for the retro show. Then you can sing.
Get closer to the mic, but give it another round.
And then we'll wrap it all up with the official show at the end of the month. That's it. The end.
So long.
Sayonara.